Broadcasting around the world, this is Reaching Forth Radio, a weekly broadcast produced to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm Dan Klaus, along with Dan Brenneman, and we're coming to you from Brooklyn, New York City. I trust that today's show will encourage you as a Christ follower, as you walk with God, as you desire to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope that something that is said or on today's show will be edifying to you, help build you up in your relationship with Jesus Christ, to encourage you as you go about your day, whether you're on your commute, you're going through home from school, maybe you're going home from school on a Friday night and you're just so excited. Maybe you're going into school on a Monday morning and you're so discouraged. I don't know what you're doing or what's going on in your life this week, but I hope and trust that today's show will be an encouragement to you and help strengthen you in some way. And today's show, we're going to have a good one. We're going to be talking about the question, why should I be like Jesus? Is there even a point to trying when I keep failing in my life of living holy and trying to be like Jesus Christ? And we'll always, as always, be challenged from the Word of God. Also, we have a chance to have a conversation with Mike Fisher. He's the founder of Consider Character, which runs character-building talks and competitions in public schools across the United States. And so stick around to hear about what Mike has to say about that and hear about his testimony a little bit. It's a good. And if you were at the last Reaching Forth rally, you got to hear Mike Fisher preach as he was the speaker there. Dan, good to see you, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, got my coffee.
You got your coffee.
And that's what's keeping me going. It's what's keeping me alive right now because I am spent. We're recording this end of my week, and I'm going to work. And this is my last shift for the week. And
yeah, you should be excited.
I am excited, but then it starts over like really fast. That's a cycle. That's what you guys had to look forward to. Sorry, it's not very encouraging. That's really discouraging.
This is for those of you that struggle with being too encouraged. You need to be brought back a little bit.
Yeah, scale back. Whoa, man. Yeah. Don't get too excited. It's not all that great. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Life is a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. That wonderful cycle of going into work and doing work. What a blessing. Well, I'm glad that you took time, Dan, to be here with us and to spend some time with us making this a better show.
Wow. That's a compliment right there. I make this a better show.
You do.
You make it a show. Yeah, I make it a better show. And you guys out there, you make it legitimate a show.
You make it worth it.
Is a show. Make it worth it. It's like that is the tree when the tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it still make a sound? If we are making a show and no one is listening, is it still a show?
Yeah.
Okay.
In our minds, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know.
I think the tree makes a sound.
Yeah.
I think we make a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any proof for that?
Well,
I always thought that was the weirdest question. I mean, to be honest, really.
What is the point of that question? If no one can hear it, a sound, I guess if you think about it, a sound is sort of subjective because someone has to listen to a sound.
It's subjective? No.
Yeah.
How?
Okay. If you're talking to a deaf person, and you're talking out loud.
Yeah,
they cannot hear you. So,
but
to
I'm
them,
still making a sound.
But to them, you're not.
But I still am making sound waves. Maybe they're not being picked up.
Right. So you have to.
But I'm still.
It comes down
making
to
sound waves.
What is the definition of a sound? Then is it just the waves passing through the air, or is it something that is received?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it something you have to have proof
this,
of?
This show got deep real quick. By the way. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't know.
It got deep so that we could legitimately prove that it's a show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We felt like we're not being legitimate enough, so we thought we'd
That's my word deep. For tonight, legitimate.
Yeah.
I've been using that.
See how many times you can use it on the show.
Legitimately, I will.
You know what? That's a good... Maybe we'll do that.
Word of the day.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a competition out there for
you. I'm good at balderdash, by the way. You know what balderdash is, right? The bluffing game where you come up with a false definition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to play it by different definition, by different name.
Okay.
That's a good one, though. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was about to say...
Legitimate. Make it legitimate.
Legitimate.
Right.
If you let us know how many times Dan says the word legitimate in this show, we will send you...
You just said it, so does that count?
If you can... Yes, because maybe it's
you're
hard...
Dan.
Maybe it's hard for you to differentiate between our voices. If you can tell me how many times the word legitimate is used in this show, we will send you a Reaching Forth .net
wristband.
Yeah.
If you live within the United States, continental United States.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, man, that means I'm going to have to count every single one.
Man.
I edit the show.
Because if you don't, it won't be legitimate.
Exactly. Oh, man. I edit the show. You get to count it all once I get it edited.
So if you edit out a legitimate word, then it's not legitimate anymore.
That's true.
So it has to be legitimate.
And does it work if you say legit or just legitimate?
Yeah, legit is legitimate.
It is. So legit's a legitimate use of legitimate.
Right.
See, you're going to have fun counting all this.
I'm counting or you're counting?
You know what? Scrap that idea. No one is going to count all that. I don't think we're going to have anyone write in. You write in and give us a good attempt, maybe we'll send you a Reaching Forth wristband.
Like,
I don't know.
It'd be like counting the gumballs in a jar. It's like no one really knows. Yeah. But if you're within the realm of legitimacy, then
yeah, we'll take a legitimate guess at what the number should be, and we'll go with that. I do have to test your wisdom tonight, Dan. I have the box of general ignorance.
You mean you want to see if my wisdom is legitimate?
I want to see if your ignorance is legitimate. This is the box of general ignorance. Here we go. Got to get some excitement here. And I'm going to ask you a trivia question for the night. And so I'm going to give you the category, because I'm better than you. If you remember our Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, you didn't even give me a choice. You just picked it. All right, here we go.
That was the app. Okay.
Yeah, that's not legitimate. Here it is. Arts and letters, geography, history, or science?
Science.
I'm pulling it out of the box. All right. Here we go. Here is the question for science. Okay. Right? What?
Is there a time limit?
No. Well, yes.
Within a legitimate amount of time.
Within a legitimate amount of time, then...
I didn't even use that word right that time. Legitimate amount of... I mean, a reasonable amount of time.
Well, legit could work too, right?
Okay, I guess.
I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
Okay, here's a question. What's the loudest thing in the ocean? What's the loudest thing in the ocean?
How specific is this answer?
It's... Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
Like, is it wanting a species?
Yeah, it's more than one. It's a group, collective group of something.
Okay. It would be a whale. It would be...
It's the loudest natural noise of all in the ocean. It's saying as a whole, like taking the whole ocean.
Okay.
What is the loudest...
Your hands showing me how big the ocean is.
Yeah, if you
really
could
help.
See. If you were watching our in-studio cam, you saw that.
Holy... It's
so you gave an answer, right?
I say the whales.
The whale? Okay, here you go.
A herd of whales.
Your answer is... I'll give a quick synopsis. It's kind of a long explanation.
Oh, my goodness.
The answer is shrimps, actually. And the reason is because though a blue whale produces the loudest noise of any individual animal...
See?
In the ocean as a whole, there's a sound called the shrimp layer. This is the only natural noise. Wow, this is pretty interesting.
The shrimp layer.
The shrimp. You never knew about the shrimp layer?
No.
The noise of collected shrimps amounts to an ear-splitting 246 decibels, which adjusted underwater is considerably...
That was a trick question, because I said the whale. Does it say what type of whale?
Well, that's what I was saying. Collectively, as the whole ocean put together. So it's like saying, yes, if you just took one shrimp and one whale.
There you go.
But since there are so many more shrimp collectively.
I'm going to be eating some shrimp here soon, so I can knock that number. What kind of whale did it say?
The blue whale.
Blue whale.
This is the loudest individual sound.
Okay.
All right. Would you like another one to
sure, yeah.
What I call rectify the situation.
That was almost like snobby. I mean, you're right, but you're not. You know,
you know what? That's what this whole game is about.
Basically. Oh, really? No. That game is not legitimate.
It is. All right, pick another category. Arts and letters, geography, history, or science?
Let's do, history. Let me do history.
Want to do history?
Is it geography and history?
No, those are two separate.
Okay, I'll do history. Because we got mixed up on Kilimanjaro that one time.
Oh, boy. Yeah, some of these questions are kind of crazy. All right, here we go. What color was the sky in ancient Greece?
What?
What color was the sky in ancient Greece?
Okay, I'm going to be take the safe route here and just say blue.
Remember, this question is actually probably not the safe answer.
Yeah, but I'm going to say blue so I don't sound like an idiot.
It's actually bronze.
Oh, really?
There was no word for blue in ancient Greek.
Oh, no.
So there you go. Dan, you should have known that. Come on.
Man. That is a really... Is snarky a right word for that?
Yeah. Well, that's why it is the box of general ignorance. I'm going to stick this back in there. Well, Dan, you did a whopping 0 out of 2 questions there. I'm going to help you a little bit because I also have another trivia here about New York City. So you should do a little better at this game. All right.
Hey, sometimes our sky is a little bronze when on a bad on a bad day.
That is true. Oh, man. All right. Would you like, these are New York City trivia questions.
Okay.
Would you like a question about history, food, culture, or off the beaten path?
Let me go with history again.
History again. All right. Let me get it out here. Okay. Here we go. Here's a history question for you. Which of the following categories of immigrants was denied entry at Ellis Island? So which of the following categories of immigrants was denied entry at Ellis Island? Here we go. Okay. A, polygamist. B, alcoholics. C, communist. Or D, left-handed people. Which group was not allowed entry through Ellis Island? I lost my Jeopardy sound effect here.
Okay, so I'm thinking, why in the world would you not want left-handed people? There's lots of left-handed people in New York, okay. Communists, don't forget that
this was back between 1892 and 1924.
Yeah, I don't know that communism was really on the rise at that point.
Showing that you know your history.
This is like the, explaining your answer, deduction. Okay. And so you have polygamists, and what was the other one that's left of my deduction here?
Alcoholics.
Alcoholics. Well, I think they let them. I'm going to say polygamists just out of deduction there. I think they let the rest of them through. Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Polygamists it was.
All right.
Yes. 16 million immigrants entered the United States through New York's Ellis Island. 70% of all immigrants to America in that period, but not if they were identified as polygamists. So out of all those people, they would not allow polygamists in.
Can you imagine the guy that had to turn around and all the wives that were just hitting him? Well, when you made it, let's go all the way here, and then we had to turn around. Yeah. You know?
Can you imagine with one?
Yeah.
Imagine with five. Woo-hoo.
You told me this was going to be a great country, and then...
I love my wife, by the way.
Amen.
There we go. Well, we'll end on that high note of you getting a right answer.
Yay. I got the other ones right, too, but not according to whoever wrote that. That game would annoy me so bad.
All right. Well, enough goofing off today. Let's get into our show, and let's jump into our question and answer time. All right, time for this week's question and answer segment. Don't forget, if you have a question for us, you can reach us at 908-291-TEEN. That's 908-291-8336. You can call or text that number, and we love to answer it on air. If you want to, you can also reach us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. That's reachingforthradio@gmail.com. And we had an email question that had come in, and so let's get to it. That's a good one here. And here it is. If Jesus calls us to be like him, but we never can accomplish this because of sin that we have and will continue to commit for the rest of our lives, then is this a hopeless cause? And what is the point of even trying? That's a good question that has come in. So basically, if we could kind of take this down a little bit and break it apart, he's saying, all right, Jesus calls us to be like him, but... even as a Christian, we struggle with sin in our life. So what's the point of even trying? Or is there a point of even trying to be like him? Maybe we'd use the word sanctified, to be set apart for his use and set apart from the things of this world and from sin. Or maybe we'd use the word holy. There's a verse that talks about, be holy for I am holy. And so a lot of different aspects here, a lot of different thoughts about this question. So, Dan, I'm going to throw it to you, my friend. If Jesus calls us to be like him, but we can't overcome sin in our life, what's the point? Is this a trick thing, or is there even a point in trying? What do you think?
Okay, well, it's a conditional question. If Jesus does indeed call us to be like him, does he tell us to be like him? Did Jesus ever say, is it in red letters in our Bible that says, hey, be like me? Well, there is a lot of verses, a lot of scripture that point us in that direction. One place that's very clear is in Romans chapter 6, and there's several verses here if you read through here, but I'll just pick out a few here. Beginning in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then moving on down, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So basically, what does it really mean to be Christ-like? Well, Christ, of course, was perfect. And this is sort of where the question is going. Can we be perfect as well? You know, there's two ways to look at this, positionally and practically. And positionally, when we receive Christ as our Savior, yes, we are like him. We are heirs according to the promise of God. We are a child of God. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. And so in the eyes of God, yes, we are perfect because our sins have been taken away and we've been granted the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of his shed blood on Calvary. Well, so positionally we are, but I think the question is more going towards the practical aspect here on earth, you know, as we look at each other, can we be like Christ? And it talks about the sin. The sin is what keeps us from being like Christ. Is it possible to forsake every sin that comes our way? Well, the Bible does tell us that we will not face a temptation that is beyond us or above us, and that he will give us a way out of that, way of escape. So there is a possibility there. However, we find ourselves often trapped by, well, failing, by falling short. So just to answer the question this far, Dan, the first part is, can we be like Jesus? It is possible. He does tell us to be like him and to strive to be like that. But what's your take on that? If Jesus told us, if the Bible tells us to be like him by keeping from sin, where else can we go with this?
Yeah, there's a couple of thoughts that we could go with this. First of all, you know, it talks about if Jesus calls us to be like him, which he does call us to, and that's
his word does. Yeah,
yeah, his word calls us to, maybe not in his specific words, but even still, he calls us to follow him, be right. A Christ follower.
That's what the word Christian means, yeah. Too, be Christ-like.
A Christ, a little Christ, right? Or a Christ follower. And we are to be. We should be like him. And if you see that, even Christian, when they were called Christians, who was it that was called Christians or little Christ? It was the people around the Christian saying, hey, you are just like your leader, Jesus.
Yeah.
And they saw a difference in this, in their life there. Yeah. Thinking about this, you know what? It comes down to... If you keep looking there at Romans chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yield yourselves unto God. For those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And I love what it's saying there. Hey, listen, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we no longer are under the power of sin. Does that mean we won't sin? Yeah, we will still fall into sin or choose to sin would be a better way of saying that. But sin does not have to dominate our life. Sin does not have to have control over our life as an unbeliever does. Really, if you think about an unbeliever, the master of an unbeliever it would be sin. The master of an unbeliever would be Satan, really, ultimately. Yeah. But as a believer, through the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we do not have to be controlled by sin, but rather God is greater than that sin in our life. But even getting beyond that, thinking about it this way, Dan, and this is would be my kind of response to a question like this or this thinking is, the Christian life is a life of growth.
Right.
Sometimes we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or people will, and then they think, man, overnight, everything is just going to automatically be different. And it is in a sense, but we still struggle with things. It's a process of growth. I like the picture that Jesus says, you're born again. All right, when you're born again, you're a spiritual baby. And there's immaturity there, and that you need to grow in your life. I like what Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And he goes on to talk and deal with this carnality. He didn't write to them and say, you are carnal, give up. You know, it's just hopeless. He says, listen, I want to be talking to you like a spiritual, mature person. You know, I want to give you, as he says here, that picture of meat rather than like a baby can only eat milk. And he's saying, I want you to literally grow. I want to see change in your life. And that's what should be our goal. Our goal should be to grow in the Lord, to see victory. I should be able to see victory over sin in my life, maybe sins that I struggled with years ago that now I am seeing victory over in my life. And it's no longer having dominion in my life. It's no longer having the power and the influence in my life as it has in the past. Now, you know, Dan, we were talking earlier about this kind of thought, and I'll let you kind of finish that thought. But whether it is a hopeless cause, mm-hmm. or whether is there any point in even trying, as the question says here, well, that would come down to this growth, too. And what do you think about that, Dan? Is there a point in trying? Is it hopeless or what?
Yeah, I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verses 11 and 12 here. You know, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You know, the Bible does describe, as you said, like a process of growth. And as a young believer, we're, you know, we still do childish things, we're still learning, and often we learn from our mistakes. Will we ever be perfect? Well, you know, we will be one day in heaven, but until that time, is it worth it? You know, this week I just started our kids in homeschool. My son's in third grade now. My daughter just started K-4, kindergarten for four-year-olds. And with her, she, all we've done this week is go over the letter I. You know, I says it, and, you know, just the little things of that, coloring papers and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, so here's the deal, though. If my daughter, who's now 4 years old, is just learning the letter I and what it sounds like and what it looks like, will she ever attain an IQ of, let's say, 200? I think that's the, I don't know if it's the max you can go. I don't know if anyone has that. Einstein was like 180 or 190 or something. So 200, that's huge, okay? Genius. Will she ever attain that type of intelligence? Well, if not, I mean, it's possible. It may not be likely, but it's possible. But if that's not likely, if that's not the likely outcome of her intelligence, what is the point? Well, let's just scrap the letter I. Let's just forget about all this, not have an education, and just be dumb. Is that a very smart thing to do? Well, no. We learn, we strive to accomplish things to make it our goal, whether it's the high IQ or a career or whatever it is that we're striving for. Whether we attain that or not, we still learn along the way. Now, if you have a high goal like that, like perfection, well, it's not likely that we'll be practically perfect in this world, but we still strive to attain that so that we can set the bar high, set our standard high so that we reach for that. And if we come up a little short on perfection, well, we're still trying to meet a higher standard than we would if we had a low standard of not trying at all. So we strive, we try to do our best to be like Christ, and we do it with His help. We do it not just by our own strength, by our own power, but we do it through Christ. You know, Dan and I were also talking about before the show that, you know, it's not just ourselves, but Jesus, He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy."
We can say it's attainable,
right?
Because it's not through us; it's through God doing it through us. It's through our surrender to Him.
Yeah, would God tell us to do something that was impossible? You know, why would He say that? And so he's given us a way to strive, to overcome, and it's with his help. And he's given us the tools, and he's given us the ability to share this will with him.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I hope that kind of helps answer your question there. Thanks for sending that in by email there. That's a good question. And may I encourage you that maybe you are at a point in your life, you're listening in, you're saying, I am struggling with sin in my life or this or that, and I seemingly can't get the victory over it. Can I just encourage you that it's a growth process? Don't give up. Don't just say it's a hopeless cause. I can never do it. What's the point of trying? But say, hey, with the Lord's help, He can have the victory in my life. I'm going to stay surrendered, and I'm going to grow. I may fail. I may fall, but I'm going to get back up. You know, we were talking before the show, too, Dan, you know, about how, as an adult, I don't fall over as much as I did when I was a toddler, right?
That's good.
You know, but the other, yes, I am making great strides. My mom would be proud of me. But the other day, you know, I was walking in the dark, kicked something, and over I went. You know why? Because even as an adult, every once in a while, you trip. You miss a stair. You fall. Something happens. And, you know, in a Christian life, you're going to maybe mess up. You're going to fall sometimes. Don't get so discouraged that you just give up. But to see growth and to say, you know what? With the Lord's help, I can see victory in my life. Great. If you have a question for us, let us know by 908-291-8336. Call or text that number or reachingforthradio@gmail.com. I was able this week to sit down and talk with Mike Fisher. He is the founder and director of Consider Character, and it's a great program. They get around and go into public schools and high schools and Christian schools and give character talks and do competitions and stuff. And so listen to his testimony, listen to how God is using them in going around and ministering in public schools. This is Mike Fisher. All right, great to sit down with you, Mike, and we just are finishing up here our Reaching Forth rally here in Brooklyn. You just got finished preaching for us an exciting message about assurance of salvation and salvation. Thanks so much for taking the time to sit down and be with us on the show.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it. I sure do.
Let's tell us real quickly, you travel and you work with teens in schools. I guess you go into schools and work with them. Tell us a little bit about the ministry that God has placed you in.
Yes, Dan, what we do usually is we have a ministry called Consider Character. You can look that up online, www.considercharacter.org. Yeah. And what we do is we primarily get into public schools. We deal with character talks on drugs, teenage suicide, abstinence, and a whole school convocation. Differing what school or what the size is, sure, obviously determines what we're going to do and how big we can go. But that's what we primarily deal with, and we'll deal with in the character talks, we deal on primarily how to deal with hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, in that, we have found that hurt stems across the board, and we see that in the reason why many of the things happen in life, some of the social mishaps that we would say with young ladies, really some of the social mishaps that we would find with suicide and other mm-hmm. things come and stem from somebody who's been hurt. I know the old phrase has been said, hurt people, but we found that true every single time. So in light of that, we do see that our most effective talk in the schools is hurt, but we don't only talk. We do have a competition, 4-foot big ball we use for volleyball and basketball. That's during the whole day and during the school day. So we have that benefit of being able to do that. And you say, what drives you to travel around the country and to get into schools? Really what drives me is I was a drug dealer till I was 21. Hmm. And at the age of 21, I started to make right choices. Now, the right choices that I made was salvation. And I came to a saving knowledge in Christ and changed my life from there on out. By God's strength, and now God has now opened the door for us to start getting him back into public schools. Now, during the day, we're not able to talk about God, and we mm-hmm. would go under contract about that. We believe our God is big enough to bring people out at night. So during the day, we do talk just about character.
Sure.
And we trust God's big enough to invite them out to an evening rally. So if That's I were to exciting. Separate it, we deal with the mental, physical, and emotional during the day, the school day, and at night we deal with the spiritual, the mental, physical, and emotional at night.
Well, that's great. How broad is this? Do you travel? You mentioned you travel a lot. How many states or where have you all been with this?
We travel about 10 months out of the year.
Wow.
And we have been in 10 different states with this. And we will be in, good Lord willing, we'll be in a few more states here coming up this next year. So again, it's about 10 months out of the year, and we travel all over the country.
You married? Have kids?
Yeah, married. I have a wife, four kids.
They travel with you?
They travel with us in a 40-foot trailer. We have a 82-pound dog that travels along with us as well.
That's just about like a New York apartment, it sounds like. So that's great.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, you mentioned your salvation testimony. You said you were into drugs until you were 20, 21, I believe you said. Give us real quickly your salvation. What brought you to the even knowing about Christ and your need of salvation?
Well, I was out in, I was living in Denver, Colorado, and I had somebody pull a gun on me. And I figured it was time to move back home. I'm from Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, so I decided to move back home at that point. I got a job at the local bar and a job also at the local grocery store. And my mom came to me one day and said, "You're never going to make anything of yourself in this town." So she moved me down to Charleston, South Carolina. And it was in Charleston, South Carolina that I was sitting in a church service. It was my only day off work. It's the only day my uncle gave me off work at that time. So there I was sitting in a church service, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ changed my life. And that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
A year later, I was in Bible college, and now I find myself here today 20 years later.
I'd say your life's a little different from back then.
Yeah, a lot different.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, that's great. Well, this is exciting to hear that you're going into public schools and doing this. And as you mentioned, you're not allowed to maybe talk about God during the school day. I know we have quite a few listeners that are in public schools, and I'm always, challenging them to find areas of opportunity to minister and to be salt and light as we're commanded to be. What would you tell them? Maybe some things that you've seen that have worked as far as opening the door to get maybe a club. Maybe what do you think? How can they be salt and light in their public school?
Yeah, there is a book that I've been I usually use as my, I say this in jest, my second Bible is David Gibbs Jr. and David Gibbs III wrote a book on keeping Christ in America's public schools. It lays out really the guidelines for a student. Now, I don't fight the court systems to get in, nor do I try to push it in that direction as some people can and have been successful at. But really, a Bible club does help, and this book shows you how to do that. Hmm. It does show you the freedom that you have in your speech, that if they were to outlaw your speech, they'd have to outlaw every speech. So really, just knowing your rights is the key. That's the first thing. As really a student, you can do anything apart from interrupt class time. So you are able to do just about anything. During a club time, you are really able to have equal rights to the yearbook, equal rights to the funding, just as everybody else is. Although you're not told that, but you are able to have those type of rights. So in light of that, I would say just to start off with a Bible club, getting sponsors, and I'd definitely be willing to help you out. You can get in contact with me on my website on that, the considercharacter.org. You can get in contact with me on that, and I'll be able to help you out with some of those.
That's great. Maybe some of you guys have been burdened about that and thinking about that and just haven't been willing to step out and to make that decision, to make that a really choice to be salt and light in your school, that take that opportunity that's there. And I would encourage you, get in touch with Brother Mike, and he'd love to help you. And you know what? I've been involved in public schools in the past and working in those Bible clubs, and it's an exciting thing to be able to see that, what God can use with that. Well, also, just in closing, you deal with a lot of teens, and you see a lot of teens, and you mentioned at the beginning about hurt and some different things that you maybe see across the board. What would be something that you could just leave with our listeners, maybe our younger teens that are listening, maybe something that you've seen that they're maybe struggling with, maybe they haven't even been willing to talk to people about yet, but from your experience you've seen, and what would be something, maybe an encouraging thing, or maybe something you could give some insight to them?
Really, overall, I think I would have to go back to the dealing with the hurt. Mm-hmm. Many times I have found that you'll clam up about your hurt, not come out and talk to somebody that can be of a help. And sometimes as a younger teenager or an older teenager, you find yourself talking to maybe the peer group as your primary help. And I have found that that's not always the best. Mm-hmm. Although it is the coveted thing to do, it is not always the best. I have found that usually going into and talking to somebody that's older than you can be of a help to you. But dealing with that hurt, just not letting it bottle up inside, it can cause a lot of emotional problems and a lot of the problems that you see today, a lot of individuality in a bad sense rather than a good sense.
Well, amen. Well, God's able to help you, and I'm so thankful for that. Now, it's exciting to see a changed life there in you, Brother Mike. One more time, give us your website. How can people find out about you? How can people get in touch with you if they have questions about starting a ministry or getting involved with you?
Well, definitely. Our website is www.considercharacter.org, and you can also give us a call at 704-473-3096. Again, at 704-473-3096. And we would love to hear from you.
Hey, awesome, Brother Mike. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you.
All right, time for this week's weekly challenge. And Brother Dan, you have something for us.
Yeah, I'm looking at John chapter 13. And I just want to read this account here for you in John 13, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, "So after he had washed their feet," this is Jesus, "and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You know, what is Jesus teaching us here? He's giving himself as an example. And if you ever look at the life of Christ and the things that he did for others, you know, he said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And we think sometimes of ourselves, you know, pretty important people. We go around and we sometimes make ourselves feel better by putting other people down. That's not the right thing to do. But you think about how Jesus lowered himself so much. The Bible says he humbled himself and made himself a little lower than the angels. And if Jesus could do something like this, like washing the disciples' feet, and he's in telling them, he's given this as an example, do you not think that we should do just as he has done? And he said, happy are ye if you do these things. You know, we'll find happiness in the Lord, we'll find happiness in this life if we discover what it means to really serve one another. And we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The Bible says that as well. But look at ourselves as Jesus did himself, as a servant, because the servant is not greater than his Lord, as he said here. But to serve one another and look at this as an example. Hey, do you have an opportunity to help someone else out? Do you think that you're too good to do something? You know, if we look at all the everyday things that people do and all the actions that we have throughout the day, you know, we ought to think of ourselves as humble servants before God and say, you know, let me have a hand in that. Let me help with this. Let me do for someone else, because that's exactly what Christ did. And we ought to strive to be Christ-like, as we talked about in our question and answer segment earlier, to be Christ-like. And one of the things that Jesus did was to humble himself and serve one another. And he's taught us these things so we would do it for each other. Do you know someone that has a need? Do you know someone that you could lend a hand to help out and just to humble yourself and to be available? Look for someone to do that for this week.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope that it was a challenge and an encouragement to you. I like that challenge just gave Dan to be a blessing to somebody this week. The fact is that all of us could go out of our way this week to do something nice, to reach out to someone, to show someone the love of Christ. You know, it's exciting, Dan. I think it was this last week. Our church here, we did something new.
Yeah.
We went out into the street there. We're having what's called a block party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in New York City, they block off the block, and everyone from the block kind of comes out and chit-chats with everybody. It's kind of a nice time. And so our church, the block on our church, was having that. And so we went out and we set up a table, and we just gave out free coffee to people in the community and got to meet people. And it was interesting to see the response from people. They said, man, this is so nice. You know, I've never, you know, heard of a church doing this. And what a different response. And it was great to be able to say, hey, you know, we're Christians, this is our church, and just wanted to be nice to you today.
We're normal people, just like you.
Yeah,
you know?
They got to meet some actual Christians, which is unique in our neighborhood. And so it was a good time of meeting people, getting to talk with them, had some really good conversations. And so just going out of your way to be kind to people will open the door to talk to them even about Jesus Christ eventually. So do that if you could. Don't forget, if you have a question for us, you have a comment, you have a concern, you have something maybe you would like us to discuss on the show, maybe you have a suggestion for our opening part of the show there. We always like to change that up a little bit and do different things. And you want us to talk about you, you have a shout out to somebody, you can reach us at 908-291-8336. Hey, do you have that on your phone yet? Do you have that programmed in there? That should be, you know, take out your phone right now, unless you're driving, then don't do this. But take out your phone, put that in as Reaching Forth Radio, and then when you're like in the middle of the night and you're sitting there and you're like, what is the answer to this question? I have a probing, deep question about life, about the cosmos, about the Word of God, about any of that. You can just shoot us a text. Just text it to us and we'll get it and we'll answer it on the show. And so put that in your phone. That's a good way to do it, right? I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I think you get a better response from us than you would Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you ask Google all kinds of things. It wants you to, you know, generate a question or something, but why not ask Reaching Forth Radio?
Yeah.
You'll get a deeper, more personalized response than just Google rattling off something in some recorded robotic voice or something.
Yeah, you know? And Siri.
Yeah.
Which
yeah, that's
we've
true.
Tried on the show before, Siri or Google, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just give us the question. Maybe it is even about just something very random.
Wouldn't that be neat if you could ask Google a question and then it generated a whole show around that question? It doesn't do that. We do.
Yes. So let us know if you have any questions, comments, concerns, shout-outs, any ponderings that you would like to be broadcast. Our email account is reachingforthradio@gmail.com. Send your questions in there. Don't forget the show comes out in podcast form every Tuesday. And if you're listening to the show there in Milwaukee, it's on the Lighthouse Christian Radio Network. And we're glad to come to you on Saturdays there in Milwaukee and the surrounding area there. If you are listening to the podcast form in iTunes, I'd encourage you, if you could, go over and rate the show. Give us a 5-star. If it's a good show, if you like it, we would love that. It would help us. And it would also kind of bump our rating up a little bit so more people could find us on there. And then more people can hear you when you give your shout out. So go over there to iTunes and do that. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you've not subscribed to the show yet, what are you waiting for? Like Dan said, you need us to personally come to your house and ask you why you haven't subscribed.
Wow.
Maybe we'll do that to someone next week.
Yeah.
We'll find someone that listens to the show here in Brooklyn, and we'll show up at their doorstep with our microphones and say, have you subscribed? And if they have not, they will have to tell us why.
Well, no, we'll just make them do it.
Or we'll just make them do it.
Because they might give a good reason why, and that won't be very disappointing.
Well, then we'll just edit that out and just go to the next house.
Okay, next house.
All right, this is a bad idea. We'll do that. And I'm still looking forward to some new exciting episodes coming up in the near future. Let's just whet their appetite a little bit here, Dan, real quickly. I know we're running out of time. You guys are in a hurry to get down the road, wherever you're doing. You're maybe sitting outside of school, just not wanting to go in. You're like, hurry up, finish, so I can go into school.
They can wait.
Or maybe you're like, oh, keep talking, because I don't want to go into school.
Right.
Well, either way, we're going to be doing some things on the street, right, going around New York City soon. And so you'll be listening for that. Reaching Forth Radio on the road. And so we're going to be going around and doing some different things around the city. I'm excited about that. And so keep listening, keep listening. Don't forget, if you want to be connected, you want to communicate with us and stay informed with the community, go over to Facebook and like us there, Reaching Forth Rally and Radio on Facebook. This is episode number 9, if you're keeping track, and I would love you to subscribe. Any closing thoughts, Dan, that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Don't play that game. What's it called?
Yes. Okay, do not play the box of general ignorance.
Yeah.
Because it will make you feel ignorant.
I think it makes me feel smarter than that game.
It says right on it. It says everything you think you know is wrong.
Oh.
So if you would have just known that, you know, then you would have known.
That's kind of like the Bible, though. Yeah. Everything you think you knew was wrong.
We should do it. Yeah, a box of general ignorance about the Bible. Because there is so much ignorance about the Bible.
That's true.
You know?
Like, for example, who cut Samson's hair?
The man that Delilah called in.
Right, it wasn't Delilah.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah, there we go. If you wouldn't have said it in that way, I probably would have said Delilah, but I was like, there's ignorance here somewhere, so I got to think through it.
You sniffed the weasel. Okay.
Yes, there we go. All right, hey, don't forget that your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in all the world, so keep walking with Him. We'll see you next week.